Good morning, everyone. It is indeed a great honor to be here back with this church family. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Philemon, this short little New Testament letter that Paul wrote. So I'd invite you to turn to Philemon. We're going to be looking at verses 4 to 7 here this morning. But once again, just like I did 2 weeks ago, I'm going to read the whole letter just for the sake of context. And the title of the message this morning is, I Thank God for You. And I got that right out of verse 4, not word for word. But I thank God for you. And what a joy it is to be here to worship God together and to think of our Lord Jesus Christ, His beauty, His power, His excellencies. What a God we serve, and what a Savior the Lord Jesus is. So we're going to try and focus our attention upon Him. You know, you think of the world and this life in which we live, and there's just so many distractions, and there's so many things that take our gaze and our focus off the Lord Jesus. But we have this Sabbath day, this Lord's Day, where we can refocus and we can turn our attention back to our precious Lord Jesus. Well, let's take a look at this letter. We'll start in verse 1, Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you, that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here this morning, to be in your house, in your presence with your people, and we thank you that you have given us your word, your inerrant word, your inspired word. We are indeed grateful. And Lord, as we take a closer look at this passage, these four verses from the book of Philemon, we just pray that you would give us understanding. Help us to see what you want us to see, what is there so clearly in the text, and help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, minister to the body. And may it be to your glory. Amen. Well, I have a good friend. I've got a few good friends, but this one in particular that I'm thinking of, his name is Randy. And let me say, he's a real blessing to me. Now, matter of fact, yesterday he called just to check in on me. Haven't seen him much of late, but he checked in, he called to see how I was doing. And I can say, with all honesty, that he is a man of God. He loves the Word. He loves his family. He loves the Lord. And he's a blessing to be around. Now, of course, he's a sinner. He's just like you and me, and he would be the first to tell you that. And I could go on, and I don't think there's any need for that. But I mention him to you because I thank God for Randy. Certainly, I could mention others. Like Randy, I'm sure there are people in your life that you are grateful for. They are a true blessing to you. God has placed them in your lives, and they speak into your life. They bless you in different ways, and you might think of your spouse. You know, I'm grateful for my wife, Stephanie, and the blessing that she is to me and to our whole family. So we could go on and on with this. But today we're going to talk about Paul and Philemon and their relationship. We can tell from the text that they had a relationship. We can tell that they knew one another and they had spent time together. Now, it's not certain that they spent a lot of time together, but it was enough to cement or to forge or to bond that relationship. And we see here from this passage from verse 4 that Paul thanked God for Philemon. You know, it's interesting. Christians don't have to spend a lot of time together to become close. I have many brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm sure the same is true of you. And this body of believers, we, over time and over the years, you grow close to one another. It's a blessing. We grow to love one another. And even those that we don't spend a whole lot of time with, we can grow very close to in just a short amount of time. Let me give you another illustration, another friend of mine. His name is Catalin Kreuter. He is a pastor in Romania, and he is a dear brother in the Lord. We met through email. I can't remember whether it was 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood, but he contacted me through email, and that was the start of a friendship. And he has a wonderful ministry in Romania, and just a couple months ago, he was doing a little stateside tour, and just so happened that he was here in central Pennsylvania, well, I guess more in the east, but he... I knew that he was coming, and I wanted to do everything that I could to meet up with him. So there was just one little short period of time where we could meet. And so I drove over to, I think the name of the town was Denver. It's close to Ephrata. And we went for lunch together. And it was a wonderful, wonderful time. We both had chili on a chilly day. And it was just fantastic. So even though we had never met in person before, there was this wonderful bond that had been developed over a couple years. And so I pray for that man, and I thank God for Pastor Catalin. So that is what we have in Christ, and certainly it is unique. And we ought to be thankful for one another, and we need to be praying for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. So after the usual greetings and salutations in verses 1 to 3. That's what we talked about last time. Paul says the following. So verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. So as I said, Philemon was near and dear to Paul. And that's why Paul often prayed for him. He made mention of him in his prayers. This was certainly not uncommon for Paul. He prayed for all the saints in all the churches. And that was a lot of people. I mean, if there was a man who was connected, and this is long before the internet, long before social media, it was the Apostle Paul. He knew so many people, so many Christians, because he just traveled all over the place. And we think of his missionary journeys. And these were hundreds and hundreds of miles that he would travel. But he would remember the people of God, and he would pray for them. He never forgot about them. Let me give you another example of a time where he prayed for a church or makes mention of that. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we see there pretty much the same thing. It's almost like a parallel verse. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time I remember you, Philippian believers, I thank God for you and I pray for you. So praying for brothers and sisters in Christ, it should be natural. It should be normal for us. It should be regular. And let me just say, I covet the prayers of God's people. I really do. And sometimes in his letters, Paul would say, brothers, sisters, pray for us. We need your prayers. And what a wonderful thing that is. Don't be afraid to say to one another, I need you. I need you to hold me up in prayer. I'm struggling, and I need you. Now, here's the big question. Why did Paul thank God for Philemon? Why was he so thankful? And I guess we could say, well, because he was a brother in the Lord, and he was faithful. But in our passage, verses 4 to 7, Paul breaks it down. He gives at least four reasons. Let's look at the first one. His love. He was thankful for his love. So look at verse 5. Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. So Paul knew this experientially, but he had heard of it. Maybe through the report of Timothy or others. He heard of this love and this faith that Philemon had. And another way that could be translated there is loyalty. Now, if there's something that should mark Christians, we know that it is love. Love is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And we think of that passage in 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love abide. But the greatest of these, we know, is love. And so Philemon was a man of love. He was a man of many things, and we'll talk about some of those here this morning. But he was a man of love, and his love was a loyal love. It wasn't fickle. It wasn't conditional. Often that's what we see in our world today. I'll love you, but you have to do this for me. You have to give me this. That kind of conditional love, that was foreign to him. And that's foreign to the true people of God. Now we see that his love went in two directions. First of all, it was directed towards the Lord Jesus. So every believer, no matter what part of the world they live in, no matter what socioeconomic conditions they live under, no matter what nationality, they love the Lord Jesus. You love the Lord Jesus. And you treasure Christ. You see his worth, his preciousness. And so that was the first direction that Philemon, the first way in which Philemon directed his love. The second one, not surprisingly, was toward all the saints. So he loved Jesus, and he loved Jesus' people, the people of God. Now, when we think about this, at least for me, the first thing that came to mind was the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment, which we could summarize it in this way. Love God with a total love, with a complete love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first part. And then part two, of course, is love your neighbor as yourself. So love starts with God, but it doesn't end there. It extends toward the people of God. And we might even extend it beyond that to loving the world, the people of the world. The Bible even says, love your enemies. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and I want to read verses 7 to 11. While we're on the subject of love, we need to look at these words from the Apostle John because they're so instructive. Here's what he says, 1 John 4 and verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So that's kind of the thrust of that passage. Beloved, brothers and sisters, we ought to love one another. And we see there that the source of love, love is of God. We can't love in and of ourselves. We don't have it in us. Even if we try as hard as we can't do it. Love is of God, and God is love. So if God is in you, then that love will be manifest. That's kind of what John is arguing. And in verse 9 there, we see the epitome of love. God sent his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, into the world that we might live through him. Now, I could start preaching on that text alone. I'm not going to do that. But we see the importance of love there. And the Bible says that through love we are to serve one another. In other words, love is a verb. We can say that we love one another, but if we truly love one another, it will show. There will be tangible ways in which we serve one another. Now, we know that Philemon embodied this love. He really did. And it was a vertical love towards God, and it was also horizontal towards brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul was grateful for this. And I can tell you that it brings me so much joy to see the people of God truly loving one another. But it always starts with loving God. Later on in 1 John chapter 4, John says, "How can you say that you love God when you hate your brother?" It doesn't work that way. You know, if you truly love God, then you will love your brothers and sisters. So why did Paul thank God for Philemon? Well, the first reason is because of his love, his genuine love. And then secondly, his faith. Look at verse 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. Now, as I started to meditate on this letter and upon this passage, I thought this was a verse about witnessing and evangelism. I mean, it kind of fits that, doesn't it? That the sharing of your faith may become effective. We want to be effective soul winners. Just reading the other day in the Proverbs, he who wins souls is wise. And so this is kind of one of those launching verses for the preacher, right? You know, you see that, and it's like, let's start talking about evangelism and the importance of it. But as I dug deeper into this passage, I realized that that's not really what it's about. There's a lot of verses that we could go to that would speak to witnessing, soul winning. But this is not one of them. You know, there's such a thing as exegesis, but there's also such a thing as eisegesis. Let me explain the difference. So exegesis, that's what we want to do. That means drawing out of the text what's really there. So every time that you're reading your Bible, unless you're just kind of glancing through it, you're doing a work of interpretation. You're trying to understand what is there in the text, what is being said. And so in exegesis, and a related word to that is hermeneutics, you're trying to employ the grammatical historical approach to interpretation. In other words, you're looking at grammar and syntax, you're trying to understand how these words fit together, but you're also trying to think historically. You're trying to think about the authorial intent, in this case, what Paul was saying. So that's exegesis, and we could say a lot more on that. Eisegesis, on the other hand, is when you have this idea of what a verse means, what a passage means, and you kind of insert your own agenda into that passage. So in this case, I could start preaching about the importance of soul winning and evangelism, something that we can all affirm. But that's reading something into the text that's not really there. Now, let me tell you what is there. Now that I've given you that little background, or that little, maybe you could call it a rant. So the word translated sharing is from the Greek word koinonia. That's an important word, koinonia, and it's often translated as fellowship. Now, not here in the New King James, nor is it in the ESV, but it is often translated as fellowship. But you have to understand, it's much more than simply enjoying one another's company. If there's something that we should encourage as Christians, it is fellowship. Fellowship is wonderful. I'm looking forward to the time that we have after service today, where we can share a meal together. Those things are really good things. And maybe you like to do game nights, where you get together with another family in the church or just friends, and you just hang out. And it's fun. And that's a good thing. But let me tell you, it falls short of the biblical norm. And it falls short of the understanding, at least what Paul was getting at, of koinonia. So it really has to do with this mutual sharing of all of life. A mutual sharing. Doing life together. You know, when we use the word intimacy, we know that there's a connectedness that's attached to that word. There's a sense of love. There's a sense of belonging. There's a sense of deep fellowship. And so when Paul is talking about the sharing of your faith, it has to do with the body of Christ. in this deep fellowship that we are to enjoy and that we are to strive for. Turn to John chapter 13, the Gospel of John. Chapter 13, and I just want to look at a couple verses. The words of our Lord Jesus. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And I realize these are not going to be new words to you. These are going to be familiar words to you. But as Christians, we need to go back and we need to review and review and review. So let me read these two verses. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So here's another love verse. Here's another love passage. And this new commandment that Jesus was giving was really an old commandment, wasn't it? We can go back to the Old Testament. We can trace that. But I think what Jesus was meaning is this new commandment is such an important commandment. We are called to love one another. And how is it that the world is going to know that we're different, that we're set apart, that we are God's covenant people? It's by this. That we truly love one another. Not in a superficial way, but in a koinonia kind of way. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. That there's true and genuine fellowship in your midst. And for Philemon and for this little house church, there was. And what a blessing. What a blessing. What a joy to Paul. So Paul thanked God for Philemon because of his faith. And it was a faith that was shared. And then number three, his character. So go back to verse 6 again. It says, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In fact, let me back up to the beginning of verse 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Well, brothers and sisters, we know that apart from Christ, we are corrupt. We are depraved. Jesus said, no one is good but God alone. That's just the reality, the sober reality. No one is good in and of themselves. So if there is any good in us, it must be a gift of God. It must come from God. And we know, we learn this in Romans, we learn it all over the place, that through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, is imputed to us. He gets our sin, and we get His riches. We get His righteousness. It is imputed to us. So every good thing that is in us, it comes by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in Colossians chapter 3. I just love this passage. Colossians chapter 3, verses starting in verse 1. If then Christ is in you, everything good that is in Christ, and He is the epitome of good, He is perfection, that has been transferred, that has been imputed to you and to me. I have another dear friend I keep mentioning. It's kind of like I'm name dropping, but it's not famous people, so it doesn't matter. But I have this other pastor friend. His name is Dave Lewis, and if you're around me much, you know that I talk about this man a lot because he's a very special man. He's pastored the same church, and it's a church near Tyrone, for 70 years. Actually, this is his 71st year, and he'll be 94 this month. So he is a dear man. He loves the Lord. Remember one time I complimented him, and I can't remember exactly what it was. It might have been a sermon that I heard him preach. I thought he really handled the text well. But after I complimented him, he said this: "Whatever good is in me, it's Christ. Whatever bad is in me, it's me." And that's true, isn't it? You know, whatever good that we have, we can't take credit for it. Bible says, what do you have that you did not receive? Everything is a gift from a gracious God. It's all of God. It's all of grace. So, was there good in Philemon? Yes, of course. He was a good man. He was a man of exemplary character. But it was really the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior we serve. And just this morning, as we were driving here, driving to State College, what a beautiful day to take a drive. But we listened to a song, and the song was kind of like, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but Christ. So Paul thanked God for Philemon for these three reasons, and then lastly, because of his encouragement. He thanked him for his love. He was thankful for his love, his faith, his character, and his encouragement. Look at verse 7. "For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." It seems to me that Philemon was a great encourager. He just had a way of lifting people, of refreshing people. He was kind of like Barnabas. Remember Barnabas in the book of Acts? He was a son of encouragement. Everywhere he went, he just lifted people up. And that's kind of the sense that I get with Philemon. And so Paul is just filled with joy because of Philemon's love. And because he knew that the saints had been refreshed. Now, let's talk about this word refreshed. It's a military word meaning rest or renewal. Rest or renewal. And just think of the army that's been on the move for days and days. They're exhausted. They need to get somewhere. And of course, I'm going back probably a couple generations here. It's a little different today. But an army on the move, and eventually they need to stop. They need to recover their strength. They need refreshing. And that's what Philemon was doing here. You know, the saints, the people of God, get discouraged at times. They get down. And maybe right now you're going through something. Maybe it's hard to express and articulate, but you're struggling. You're in the valley. And that's where brothers and sisters come into play. You can encourage one another. And that's kind of the effect that Philemon had on the saints. Just a few weeks back, I think it was 3 weeks ago, I met with Dean and Bruce. We met at a coffee shop in Lewistown, and we just had a real fun time. Bruce wanted to get to know me better. He was kind of wondering, you know, who is this guy? And so I shared a lot of my own story and my own journey and how Christ has worked in my life and in our family. But, you know, afterwards, I can't remember, it was a couple days later, I was talking to Dean, and he shared with me that Bruce is, well, he's like that. He has a way of refreshing and strengthening the body. Whether it's through his preaching, whether it's through his counseling or his visitation. I know you guys did some visitation that day. So praise the Lord for men like Bruce Bacenstowe. Praise the Lord for his ministry, how he encourages, how he strengthens. And that's what Philemon was doing. And that's why Paul was so thankful for him. And along with that, we're going to get to this next week. But Paul was expectant that Philemon would forgive Onesimus. And we'll get into the whole backstory with that. That was kind of the occasion for this letter. But you see, Philemon had outstanding character, and that's why Paul was confident. He was expectant that Philemon would do just as he asked. Now, most of us will not have the multitude of gifts and abilities that Philemon brought to the table. We just won't. But I can assure you that we all bring something to the table. We all have spiritual gifts. God has blessed us in different ways. And your gifts are different than mine. Just like Bruce's gifts are different than mine and different than Dean's. But what a beautiful picture when the body of Christ comes together. And brothers and sisters, that is so important. Think of what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, another familiar passage. Let me read it for you. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So think about that. Paul is saying, well, whoever wrote Hebrews, don't know if it was Paul, he's saying, let us consider. Let us think through how we can stir up one another to love and good works. And one of the ways that we can do that is by gathering, assembling, meeting together. When we meet together, we can exhort one another, we can encourage one another, and especially as we see the day, the great day of the Lord approaching. So let's strive to spur one another on. And let me, I can tell you, I am grateful for you. I really am, even though I'm just getting to know you. You've been a huge encouragement to me and to our family through your words and just been a huge blessing. And I'm thankful for you. And I hope and pray that you're thankful for one another. So as we finish up here, as I close, let me just say, keep your eyes firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, precious Lord Jesus. Don't look back. Don't look back. Sometimes we have that tendency to look back, but press on towards the goal, the prize, heaven. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. And you know, when we do that, we will be that much more effective in serving our Lord and our Master. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you inspired this text, this short letter that Paul wrote to Philemon. We thank you for even just these few words. They're so instructive. Thank you for the love, the bond that was there between Paul and Philemon and Onesimus as well. Continue to give us understanding as we work our way through this letter. And Lord, help us to apply this message to our hearts, to our lives, to this church. Oh Lord, may we be thankful for one another. Oh Lord, may we lift one another up in prayer. Oh Lord God, may we do all that we can to strengthen this bond, to encourage one another, to stir up one another, to love and good deeds. And we pray this all in Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen.